It's awfully quiet in here this morning. Must be all the heat keeping people home. Welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. We are glad that you are here this morning. And a few ways to learn more about what's happening here at Gates Presbyterian Church is to check out the ways we are church together through worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Your bulletin and is full of calendars and lists of announcements. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or an elder will be standing at the communion table following worship. No one came to me with any announcements, and I only have one this morning, and that is don't miss next Sunday as we celebrate the new Presbyterian hymnal that will be published in fall of 2013, but we have a sneak peek, and we will have a hymn sing here in church to sing God's praises. And now, let us worship God together.
Thank you. Please stand for the call to worship. My heart and my body rejoice out loud to the living God. I put my strength in God and am truly happy. With the whole armor of God on me, I come in prayer and peace. To you, O God, we sing our praise, worship you. Hymn number 476. Please read responsively the prayer of confession. Strong living God, forgive us, loving God. Forgive us, living God. Forgive us, loving God. God is our strength. Grant us the nudge of the Spirit. Have a minute of silent prayer of confession. When the world offers waves of violence and cowardice, we are invited to put on alternative armor. Thanks be to God.
At this time, the children are invited forward. Closer with me. I'm going to use the step today. Good morning. Come on closer. Good morning. Hello. So all summer long, the congregation has been reading together here in worship the letter of Ephesians, which is from the author Paul. And this morning, Paul is writing about putting on the armor of God. See those words up there? Put on God's armor. Have you guys ever been to a museum and seen armor? Have you ever seen armor before? I bet if you've seen it before, does it look like that? Yes. Paul, who is writing this letter this morning, he is kind of a silly guy. And he is talking about a different kind of armor this morning. And so I brought a little bit of my own armor to show you. So you ready? This is a belt. Paul writes how we all should put on a belt of truth. So I'm going to put it on. You ready? Okay. He also talks about peace. It's okay. Here are my shoes of peace. These are actually pretty cool shoes because when you buy them, the company donates a pair to kids who need them. So, these are my shoes of peace. Paul also writes about the breastplate of righteousness. Would you like to see the breastplate of righteousness? You ready? Here it is. I know. It's pink even. So, as I was putting on God's armor this morning, it really looked quite a bit like, well, maybe not really. Was really thinking that looked like this. Miss Rogers was a. I was a kid, and he taught kids all about how to be good neighbors. And every time he started the show, he would put on a different pair of shoes, righteousness, his cardigan. He always wore a belt, and he taught kids all over the place. But how to be good neighbors and love each other, which is exactly what Paul is talking about in the letter this morning. So you'll have to listen well during the sermon. See if you pick up on it. Can we pray together? Yes? Dear God, help us remember to be good neighbors. Amen. Thank you all. You can go back and sit with your parents.
The first reading this morning is Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, at the altars, O Lord of hosts, my God, and my King. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways of Zion. As we go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look to the face of your anointed, for the day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you.
A secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. You don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, and the major lift. The baffled king composing hallelujah. Strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to a kitchen chair. She broke your throne and she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah. This floor, I used to live alone before I knew you. I've seen your flag on the marble arch, but love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Time when you let me know it's really going on below. Now you never show that to me, do you? Remember when I moved in you, and the holy dove was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah. God above, and all I've ever learned from love is how to shoot somebody who outdrew you. It's not a cry that you hear at night. It's not somebody who's seen the light. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah.
So this morning I'm going to keep my peace shoes on because we're going to do some jumping. Well, I won't ask you all to do some jumping. We're just going to jump to the end of the letter from Paul to the church in Ephesus. Next week, we'll swing back around and pick up a few verses in chapter 5 to go along with our congregational hymn sing with that sneak peek at the new hymnal. But this morning, the closing words from Paul, or Paul's student writing in his voice, that conclude this letter with words of peace, prayer, and reassurance that this community of new Christians has the strength to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hear these familiar words. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore. Fasten the belt of truth around your waist. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known the boldness of the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak. I mentioned that these are familiar words. Even if you have never read the letter to the church in Ephesus, I am confident that somewhere along your journey of faith and life, the imagery of the armor of God has entered your consciousness. Unfortunately, because the Christian church has a long, torrid history of aligning itself with various empires, it makes it difficult for us to hear this passage in the way that it was intended for those early readers. We've been taught time and time again that this passage offers the biblical justification we need to take up the sword and stand strong against any perceived enemies threatening our interpretation of what it means to be a follower of Christ. I've wondered if Christians are so concerned with biblical authority, why we have ignored the fact that those early communities took the teachings of Jesus very seriously, to be peacemakers in an otherwise violent world. That first century Christian community in Ephesus was not a stranger to violence. They faced it from all sides. There was the daily harassment and discrimination from their neighbors, who were practicing a host of pagan as well as Jewish religious practices. When the congregation heard this letter read out loud, that metaphoric imagery would have also been a glaring reminder of the Roman occupation as soldiers marched up and down the streets daily, clad in shoes with spikes on the soles, swords to hold at the neck of any defectors, and breastplate, belt, helmet to assert the ruthless power and impenetrable strength of Roman rule. There was no doubt that Paul thought the church represented the truth of the gospel, was in a war with hostile cosmic forces, as he describes the spiritual foes of evil, forces opposed to the reign of God. And his advice was to take it seriously and be strong in battle, but with a different kind of strength. We miss this part, mostly, how the strength is truth and righteousness, peace, faith, and the word of God. The belt, he urged, was the belt of truth, and the breastplate, righteousness, that relies on strength that comes from God and not our own brute force. It is a skillful and eloquent exercise in metaphor that Paul takes on. But because the early Christians were pacifists, they understood themselves to be called by Christ to refrain from bearing arms against or on behalf of human agents. No early Christians would have literally put on armor and gotten up and gone to attack those who they thought were going to attack them. Yes, many died as martyrs. And yet in the 21st century, we are left with thousands and thousands of years of perverted Christian practice, that it is our duty to stand strong, put on the armor of God, stand firm against that which we deem evil. I admit, though, it's not easy for us to know what exactly Paul meant with these words. Whether we must be Christian pacifists and not engage in violence of any kind, or to be what is known as Christian realists, like the late Reinhold Niebuhr, for instance, who believed that it is sometimes necessary to take up arms to defend oneself, one's family and nation and values, and that there is no conflict between Christianity and strong military capacity. But Niebuhr and others add that the cross should not be on the shield, and Christians who find themselves in military conflict should not only have a weapon ready, but a heart aching at the tragic inability of human beings to live God's will for peace. And all too often, those who find themselves in military conflict with weapon in hand, an aching heart for God's will for peace, are overwhelmed by the responsibility. And it's taking its toll on many soldiers and their families who are returning from combat zones today. I have a clip from author and activist for nonviolence, Living Simply in the Poor, Shane Claiborne, as he commented on an article maybe many of you have seen recently, the Time Magazine article about the soldiers who are committing suicide. Here are his thoughts.
So I was coming home on an airplane this morning, walking through the airport, and saw the new Time Magazine. And the cover story is one a day. Every day, one U.S. soldier commits suicide. And for a while, we've been saying that the suicide rate is higher than the combat death rate. But the fact is that right now, the suicide rate of U.S. soldiers and veterans is the highest it's been in like over 10 years. I started thinking about that and thinking that of the pile of letters that I've got on my desk from U.S. soldiers, many of them in active combat right now, that write me and over, they're saying things like, I'm trying to love my enemy, and I'm not sure that I can kill them. One of the Christian soldiers wrote me and said, I'm not sure that my arms are big enough to carry a cross and a sword or a gun. One of the letters I'll never forget is from a soldier that said, I feel like I'm dying and killing for abstract nouns, like freedom and democracy. And then he said, but it just doesn't feel like love. It doesn't feel like Jesus. As we look at Jesus, we see what love looks like as it stares evil in the face. And it's beautifully, redemptively nonviolent. It says to those who hate us, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. And as I think of that, I went to Iraq. I've been to Iraq a couple of times. And when I first went to Iraq, I was convinced that the collateral damage of war were kids and families in Iraq. But I've also become really, really convinced that folks are dying on both sides of those guns, and that folks are committing suicide and having deep moral injury from what they've seen and done. I was speaking at a school recently, and one of the kids that beelined to the front after I'd spoke about peacemaking and nonviolence, but this kid, he's, you know, visibly shaken, and he comes up and he says, I was on active duty during the Shock and Awe campaign. When you were in Baghdad, I dropped the bombs on Baghdad. And he said, I've been living with that ever since. And I could just feel the weight on him. And as I wrapped my arms around him and we prayed that his heart would be set free of the weight of what he had done and seen, and that we would all like have the imagination to live into a different world, into a different dream than the patterns of violence that we see right now. Jesus said at one point, if you pick up the sword, you die by the sword. We've lived that over and over. We've picked up the sword and we've died by the sword. It's time to discover a new way of doing things. I think, you know, as people, there's all these political camps, all this political rhetoric, but in the end, we continue to spend $20,000 a minute on militarism and war. One soldier or veteran commits suicide every single day. And you start to go, there's got to be another way. There's got to be a more sensible way of doing things. And as I look at Jesus, we see a third way that doesn't make sense to the wisdom of smart bombs, but it's a different, a deeper wisdom that the scriptures say is foolishness to the wisdom of this world. And we've seen the wisdom of this world. We've seen this myth that this, we can bring peace through the sword. And Jesus says, no, you pick up the sword, you die by the sword. We've tried that one enough. Let's try something different. Let's try loving those who hate us. Let's try laying down our lives for someone rather than taking someone's life. Maybe that's the other way.
Every day, one soldier dies from suicide. And that statistic is for active duty personnel. Among all veterans, a suicide every 80 minutes round the clock. The letter from a soldier that Shane referenced, I'm not sure my arms are big enough to carry a cross and a sword or a gun. It isn't just those who have experienced combat trauma who are among those dying from suicide, because nearly a third of those among the troops who had committed suicide were never deployed. No one really knows why, the article in Time magazine says. Most agree there isn't enough money allocated to mental health, and support systems are overwhelmed in trying to help the troops returning from overseas or to civilian life. And so when I saw this Time magazine article, it startled me as I reflected further on what Shane also talked about, that the collateral damage of war or violent uprisings isn't just the perceived enemy or even the kids and family innocently dying in Iraq, Afghanistan, or Syria. Folks are dying on both sides of those guns. The suicide rates, the deep moral injury, the hearts aching at the tragedy of human beings being unable to live God's will for peace. And bombs don't have to be dropped on our houses. People don't have to show up at our doors with guns for any and all of us to experience the heartache of the inability to live God's will for peace. As soldiers continue to return home to our families and our communities, are we asking ourselves, will we respond with truth? People are dying every day in our streets, and more frequently, it seems, at schools and malls and movie theaters and places of worship. Are we responding in faith? Our aching hearts leave us feeling vulnerable and fearful of what might happen, and we need to be honest with ourselves in asking if we are strengthened by God's armor or the violence that we display in thoughts, words, actions against our neighbors. Do we really believe our arms are big enough to carry a cross and a gun?
Thank you.
invite you at this time to share those prayers of concern, the aching in each of our hearts, and also those prayers of joy where we have celebrated with God in our lives. Please raise your hands so the usher can come around.
Good morning, Eric Vail. As you'll see in the bulletin this morning, it's kind of a sad, well, it's been some sad days. Corona lost her son, my wife Mary, her brother, my brother-in-law, Frona's grandson, Luke, his father. So please pray for Frona and her family, because all of you that know Frona, which is pretty much, I'm sure, everybody here, know what the power of prayer means to her. And she wanted me to tell you the comfort that she gets knowing that. So again, please pray for Frona and her family and ask God to provide the comfort and peace that's been so helpful for now and today's going forward. On a happier note, I'm very pleased to have my mom and dad, Everett and Betty Vail, here visiting with us today before they return back to Florida in a few weeks. Thank you.
Well, thanks for being with us this morning. And we send our prayers and, of course, our hugs with Frona and Eric, the family.
Bill DeSero, I want to thank all the prayers that people bestowed on my aunt and uncle. After a lot of traveling across the state, my uncle has been gone home, and now he's recuperating now at home, where it was very grim just a week and a half ago. It's looking very much more promising now.
Thank you. Continue.
I'd like to thank Melissa for the message of peace. A lot of times it's not a popular subject, even in Christian churches. It takes courage. We've become a country where I've seen 80-year-old nuns thrown into federal penitentiaries for peaceful protests at the School of the Americas at Fort Benning in Georgia. And so to do that takes a lot of courage. I'm sure Melissa would welcome any dialogue about it, but thank you for the message.
Ways about the ways that other prayers. I see it up front.
Bonnie Beckett. I want to again remind everyone that our unofficial church librarian's mother will be 90 on Labor Day. Send her cards. She's a shut-in. Please, in Nora Bush's address is in the church prayer book. Her mother is not a member, but she is definitely a very active member of our church.
So birthdays for Nora Bush's mother?
Nora Bush's mother will be 90 on Labor Day.
Thank you. All right. Happy birthday to her. And also for our whole library committee, for those who haven't stuck their head in there lately, they've been working very hard with the staff for a little bit of transformation in there. So glad. Any other prayers this morning? Here.
Jenna Steinmiller, one of our campers had a stroke this past week, and he's 8, so prayers for him and his family.
Prayers for that little camper and his family.
In the light of your sermon, Melissa, I would ask for prayers for our nephew who recently returned from Afghanistan and all of those with whom he served.
Amen. Let us continue to lift our hearts to God. O God, who strengthens us through your word and spirit, we experience the world that takes up armor, exerting strength through violence and weapons of warfare. And God, our hearts ache with the frustration of our inability to dream and engage your will for peace. Turn expectations and reactions upside down, O God, to reveal power exercised in service of the weakest. Where the haves recognize the have-nots, and where weapons are transformed into welcome signs to our neighbors. Holy Lord, we pray for this nation, that its superpower may empower those who struggle for justice, fairness, and peace. We pray for those who serve in the military, that we as a nation might stand in solidarity with their pain and loneliness. And may we be yoked by the belt of your truth for our lives. Hear us, O God, as we pray for our city, for those who lead, administer, teach, care, and support. Grant that we as citizens might put on shoes of peace and spread the good news of your grace. And as we pray for your church, that it too might know the unsettling, upsetting stir of the Spirit's breath in its life and work. And may your righteousness cover our breast. Now draw close, O Lord, as we in silence offer our prayers for ourselves, for others, for this world. May we be strengthened by you, O God, that we might have the imagination and the confidence to be your people. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen. Friends, we have been blessed with so much. The movement and sound in the midst of the life of this congregation offers back to God that life in which we have been blessed. So let us celebrate there with our morning offering.
generous God, you have given us all that we have, and all have made us what we are. We return a portion of that which is truly yours as a demonstration of our commitment to your people. Bless our offerings and the spirit in which we bring them. Enable us to be your faithful people in all that we do and say. Amen.
As we go forth from this place, question, are our arms big enough? And as you hold them out wide, may you feel God's embrace that clothes us all with peace and love into this world, sharing it with others in the name of God, God's Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is with us now, and always. Amen.